truth. And this is found in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter number 10. And, you know, the transforming truth. Some of the things that we use in Sunday school are curriculums. What is a curriculum? A curriculum is something that someone else has wrote. They wrote in intention of presenting it to Sunday school classes. And some of the things that you hear me speak on are things that just the Lord's given me from the Word of God. What you usually have is something that is a curriculum that helps me keep centered and focused on a series, but normally it's mostly my own stuff that I give and use by reading the Bible and also the curriculum itself. Transforming truths, I like the thought of it. And the idea, different verses that actually changed our lives. And I know we all have some. And I gotta be honest with you, the last week was a personal one. The idea that transforming truth, how God helped me in the story of the prodigal son. The other truths before that, a few of them came from the curriculum. All verses that are good, all verses that could help us. But this one is another personal transforming truth. This story made a big impact on my life. And I know it's been years since I spoke about it, but I know it's something you have heard me speak about. And obviously, if God's worked on your heart in a certain story, you're going to, if you have the chance to preach and talk and give sermons, you're going to preach about the things God's spoken to your heart about, especially. And here in Mark chapter number 10, there we have the story of blind Bartimaeus. And let's read through this real quick. And I'm going to give you a little bit of a personal testimony and just try to help you understand how God helped change my life through this passage of Scripture. It was a transforming truth. And the name of the transforming truth is, I need to get to Jesus. Mark 10:46, the Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer tonight. Lord, I pray that you help me this morning. Lord, this passage of Scripture has meant a lot to me over the years. Lord, I remember how you spoke to my heart during a certain message. Lord, as I've read through it. Lord, I pray that you help the people that hear my voice, that can hear my voice this morning. And Lord, I pray that you show them the great need we have. One, to get to you. Lord, not letting people discourage us, not letting circumstances stop us, Lord, but instead to realize the great need we have in our lives is to make sure that we can get to you, and Lord, that we take the time to get to you. Lord, speak to people's hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. A transforming truth. The Bible tells us that we are supposed to be transformed in Romans 12:2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a transformation that God wants to happen and make in our lives. And this is one of those verses and stories that God helped me. I'll tell you a little bit of the first time I remember hearing this preached. Obviously, I've read this passage of Scripture before, but our church was hurting. Not this church personally, but our church back home. Baptist Bible Church in Elkton, Maryland. We went from Dr. Tom Berry was. He was Pastor Thompson's pastor. Well, there was a little bit of a bad breakup between our church and Pastor Berry. I still have high respect for Pastor Berry, but he had left the church, and they were looking for somebody. And it took us a little while to find somebody, and they found somebody. I'm not going to tell you the guy's name, but they found somebody. He was there for a few years, and it seemed like he was doing pretty well. And during those years, God was really working on my heart to do what I was supposed to do. God called me to preach at probably somewhere between the ages of 12 to 14 at a junior camp and a teen camp. He kind of confirmed that. And I taught a junior church. I taught junior church since I was a helper when I started about sixth grade, and all the way up to when I left to come here. So from 12 all the way to probably 28 or 29, I worked or taught junior church many of those past years. And I taught an adult Sunday school class. So for somebody that was 23, 24, 25, those are things that I knew I was trying to make God happy. I even at this point in time, God was working on my heart and life, and he brought me back to Bible college. I knew I should have went to Bible college when I earlier, and I should have stayed when I was there, but I did it the hard way. You guys ever done things the hard way before? I know I have. And it would have been much easier for my wife and I to stay into a good college, learn, get the training we needed, graduate like we should, and then went out to serve the Lord. But that's not the way it happened for us. Some of us are stubborn. Anybody stubborn here? Stop pointing at your husband and wife, okay? So instead, when I was about 25, God really started to work on my heart about, hey, look, I have a plan for your life. Either you do it now or I'm going to stop. You're not going to have the chance to do it. Because I always thought, I'll do it in the future, I'll do it in the future. At 25, I started going, and this is under the one man who I'm not going to mention his name. I started going to Bible college. I went to the little Bible college in town. I worked midnight shift. I managed a drugstore from the midnight shift to work 12 hours a day, 12 and a half hours a day, 4 days a week. So I could go to Bible college during the daytime. And it was a busy schedule. So that wasn't the easiest path to choose. It would have been much easier when I was 18, 19, 21, 22 to finish up my degree. But I didn't do that. I had to take things the hard way. Well, when this pastor was here, our church had gone through a little bit of an emotional split when Pastor Barry left. And like I said, don't begrudge Pastor Barry at all. It's probably not the way I would have done things, but he's someone I still hold in high esteem. This other guy came and he helped our church some. And then he something changed and something bad happened. He actually had an affair with one of the piano players and he had to resign the church. He did it. And, you know, it was disgraceful. And he is with his wife today. And, you know, that's great and wonderful and how things are working out. And he's still trying to serve the Lord after a time of restitution. But during that time, our church even became hurt even more. And I was, once again, not living for God as much as I should have. I was trying to pacify God by saying, look, I'll teach this class and I'll do this. I'll even go back to Bible college. And for those years, and during this time, 25, 26, 27, I was like an onion, you know, and the idea that God was just peeling little layers back of me, just getting me to where it's the root of myself, to where I am at, and showing me who I really was and who he really was and the change that needed to happen in my life. I was still discouraged, filled with pride, not really understanding what I need or what God was trying to say. And on a Wednesday night, they were bringing in different candidates to replace the other pastor who had left underneath, you know, this disgraceful way. And they brought a guy in, and he came in on a Wednesday night. You know how our Wednesday night church services are. I mean, there's not that many people out there. The other church back home was a little bit bigger than ours, so we probably had 120 people out there in the service, 100 to 120 people out in the service. They had their teen programs, they had their kids programs in the back, but they probably had 100 people out in the service. And this guy preached this story about blind Bartimaeus. And that night, God really worked and dealt with my heart. And he just simply put it out there that we need to learn how to get to Jesus. We just need to understand he's the only one that can really truly help us. We need to understand that some people aren't going to understand that. And we can't let obstacles stop us. We have to learn to go to God and just seek after him. And so when we talk about transforming truths, I've enjoyed learning some of the lessons and teaching some of the lessons that was written by the author of the curriculum. But this is one of the things that I can go back and I can point to it. When I heard that gentleman preach and when I went and studied this passage of scripture out, that's really one of the greatest needs of my life. Is I need to get to God. I thought I had everything else figured out. I had a wonderful wife teaching in the Christian school. Had a son there at that point in time. Christian was in that, he was born in that time period when I was going through that. I wouldn't really call it a dark time, but a time where I knew that God was pruning me, I guess is a good way to put it. Or God was afflicting me, showing me, hey, look, this is what I want you to do. It's kind of peeling back the layer and layer at a time. And here, in this passage of scripture, this man just walked through the story, and sometimes you can feel when certain passages of scripture or certain services are spirit-filled. And this was a service that was really, truly, I think God took over. And, you know, we had people on a Wednesday night that was at the altar praying, groups of people that were praying. And it was something that really helped a hurting church, because we had to realize we weren't depending on a man who left in disgrace, or we weren't depending on those that left when Pastor Barry left. You know, the person or the one in charge of our church was God. And that's who we need to take our people, our problems to. And in this story, we see a man who has pretty much been stripped of any hope on his own, and he realized something, that he had to get to Jesus. So that's what we're going to look here at, this transforming truth. In a personal note, this is one of the stories that really God worked in my heart and life at. And I know you've heard me talk about this many years ago, but this is something that, if we're talking about a story that made a difference in my life, like we did last week, the prodigal son, talking about how selfishness is one of the problems in a home, that helped me. This story helped me. So when we're going these ideas of transforming truths, this is a story that helped me. I'm hoping it can help you today. Let's look at this story here. It says, verse number 46, it said, "And they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people." Now, I think it's always best to try to imagine what's going on. You have your sanctified imagine. You got Jesus in the middle. You got Jesus' disciples around you. And then this says you got a great number of people. Doesn't use the word multitude, because I think multitude even means bigger than the great number of people. But he's got a bunch of people there. They're all clamoring. They're all talking. They're all excited about the things that Jesus are doing. I'm sure intermixed inside of there is some of those religious leaders and those people that are working for the Pharisees, maybe even some of the Pharisees that are just watching him. And their interest isn't to learn of him. They're waiting for him to make a mistake so they can pounce on it and they can do all these other things. So I want you to picture as they're walking down a road and they're excited and they're talking. Jesus was there. His disciples are around him. And there is a ton of people that are just walking with him. Why are they there? They want to learn from him, the majority of them. They actually, many of them, as we learn in other passages of scriptures, they're there to see another miracle. One of the passages of scriptures talked about how Jesus looked at him and says, "Look, the only reason why you're following me is because I fed you yesterday. You know, I'm the bread of life." He says, "Don't just come because of what I can do for you physically. What I can do for you spiritually is even more important." Well, we see in the story that we're introduced to a character by the name Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. So you got Jesus and this large group of people coming this way. And you got Bartimaeus sitting on the side of the way, the road on the roadside. To be blind is something that is tragic. Sometimes God allows that to happen. Some of us lose our vision as we get older. I understand all this. But back in Bible times, to be blind, they did not have a lot of the same modern conveniences that they had today. To be blind back then, most of the time, unless it happened when you were an adult, most of the times you were just not very well taken care of. You depended on someone to help direct you to where the spot you sat there. You sat there all day long, and then you would try to find your way back to maybe your cave. You would not have a home many times because of the fact that you just don't have the money for that, because you're depending upon other people. So I want you to picture this man here who is there, and he is... he's down on his luck. I mean, he doesn't have much. He probably every single day gets up, goes home, comes back. Don't know if he has a family or not. If he was born blind, more than likely he probably didn't even have a family. And he's there. There's really no hope for this man. He lives day in, day out. And can you be happy in that circumstances? If you have God, you can have Jesus, you can believe he has a plan, you can believe to see the goodness of God, and yes. But I want you to picture that man as someone who he's desperate. He wants some help, he needs some help. That's why he's begging. It's not like he's dependent upon himself. He is sitting there and he is begging because he needs help. He's asking for financial help. And that's how they took care of things back then. They did not have government type programs back then. This was their living. Whatever was given to him was the money he would receive to live his life, to get his food for the next day. And we see here in verse number 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. So he hears something. He hears that Jesus Christ is coming. Now, how did he know about Jesus Christ? I mean, obviously he had never seen any of the miracles. Well, someone told him. I mean, they were excited. Obviously, if there is a large number of people walking with Jesus, there is a group of people that had found out about it and knew what was going on. And I think it's kind of neat. You remember, someone told him about this. I'm sure he has heard that this is a man that can heal the blind and heal the lame and heal the sick. I'm sure that someone had told him the truth. And just a reminder, you know what? We are all desperate without God, and we need someone to tell us the truth that God can help us and that God can save us and that God can work a miracle in our lives. That's not the story that we're talking about here, but if no one had ever told Bartimaeus about Jesus, he would have never started crying out to Jesus. He would have never been yelling out there for him. And you see here in verse number 47, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. First thing I want you to understand, if we're ever going to get to Jesus, is we have to realize that he is the only one that can truly help us. He is the only one that can truly help us. This man knew that he could trust in Jesus, and he cried out. He didn't let anything else stop him. He cried out and he said, look, I need to get to him. I need to talk to him. I can't let anything else stop me. I don't care if there is 1,000 people here or 2,000 people or 3,000 people here. I'm going to sit on this road and I'm going to do whatever I can to get to Jesus, because you know what? He is the only one that can help me with the need that I have. The doctors can't help me. And the other story in Matthew talks about how there was two beggars. Now Mark focuses on this one here because I think Bartimaeus is the one who is speaking out and crying out. But you know, this guy that was sitting next to him begging couldn't help him. The people that actually had maybe dropped a little bit of change into his cup that day, they really couldn't help with his greatest need. If we're ever going to get to Jesus Christ, we have to realize he is the only one that can help us. I know that in my life, and I said this was a transforming truth for me that night. I thought and took this with me. You know, I used to think I could help myself. I don't know about you, but I used to think, hey, I'm not that bad of a person in the idea of my Christian walk. I've been saved for many years. I teach here. I work here. I do this. I'm in Bible college. You know what? I'm helping myself. You know, God had to peel that part of the onion back on me. God had to realize that, you know what, and humble me and say, you have to get to God. You are not going to ever find satisfaction and happiness and joy apart from him. You need to get to Jesus Christ. You need to get to him. You stop depending on everybody else. Stop depending on your wife. Stop depending on your husband, your pastor. You know, those are all good people. You can support you, but there is no substitute from getting to God. He is the one that can actually make the great difference in your life. Second thing I want you to see here is that some people just didn't understand. Verse 48, and many charged. Now, you picture the scene. Remember, there is a multitude of people coming and walking down the road. Jesus is in the middle. They have the opportunity to talk to him. They have the opportunity to converse with him maybe. They're all waiting for their turn to spend time or maybe to be touched by Jesus or to get help by Jesus. And it says that many looked at him and many said to him, charged him that he should hold his peace. You know what they were telling him? They were telling him, shut up. Oh, be quiet. Be quiet. You're annoying me, people. You're becoming a sight. I think in pretty much what they were saying, you are just a blind, old beggar. Jesus does not care about you. He doesn't really have time for someone like you. There's more important people. You know, and there will be people out there who will not understand. If you really get to the spot where you say, I am not going to let anything stop me from getting to God, I'm not going to let anything stop me from getting to Jesus, there will be people who do not understand. You have to give up certain things. You have to stop doing certain things, or maybe having certain friends, or lay away some weights lay aside some weights like we talked about a couple Wednesday nights. Maybe set aside some type of sin. Maybe have some more focus. Maybe spend some time praying and fasting and saying, no matter what happens, I'm going to do everything within my strength and my power to get to God. And that's what Bartimaeus is doing. He could not do anything more. He was blind. He was sitting there. The only option he had was to cry out to God and say, God, Jesus, our Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, a lot of us have some more options. A lot of us can see Jesus or can see God, can read His book and read the Bible and have the Holy Spirit of God, and that can speak to our hearts and pull things away from us so we can stop letting these obstacles get in our way and we can make a beeline right to Jesus Christ. But there are some people who don't understand. You know, sometimes your husband and wife's not going to understand. I know when during this time when God was pulling apart things and those part just trying to get me to a certain spot, there are certain things I gave up, certain things I had to change in my life, and my wife didn't understand what was going on with me. She looked at me, she's like, man, what's going on with you? I know I didn't really have an answer. I just knew that God was working in my heart, and this night I learned and heard that it's not for everybody else to understand my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's my responsibility to try to get to Jesus Christ. Other people might say, oh, you don't have to do that. You go to church 4 times a week? You don't got to do that to be close to God. You give money to the church? Ah, oh, they got plenty of money. You don't have to do that to get close. You tell other people about Jesus Christ? Ah, oh, that's just your preacher trying to build up your church. You know, other people will not understand this. And if you get to God and you spend time with Him, if you get to the Holy of Holies, I tell you, the other things aren't going to seem that important. The people that are there aren't going to understand what you're going through. If they're not living for God and you're experiencing time with God alone, they're really not going to get it. They might see a change in your life, but they're not going to see why it's not happening in their life. Let's think of the next thing. And this is probably my favorite part. In verse 49, it says, and Jesus stood still. I think this is kind of, this is neat. You got these many people that telling him to be quiet. You got these big crowd. How does it describe that Jesus went out to Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people with him? You got one beggar that's on the side of the road. Jesus couldn't have heard him. I mean, you think everybody's talking, they're walking, all the activity is going on. You got Jesus, you got his 12 disciples, and you got hundreds of people around him. There's no way that Jesus would have heard one guy, even if he was shouting at the top of his voice. But he it's because he's God, he heard him. That's not the part that excites me more than the fact that it says he stood still. You say, why does that matter? Well, he stopped what he was doing because there was someone who was trying to get to him. He was busy. He was on his way. You imagine he's on his way to Jerusalem. You say, well, maybe not. This exact passage of Scripture on his way to the cross. But that's his focus was always to that cross. His eyes were set steadfast to that cross. He was always headed to that cross. And he was walking, and he knew there was someone who was trying to get to him. There was someone that had a problem. He knew there was someone who was doing everything they could to get to him. And it says he stopped and he stood still and he commanded him to come. He stood still. And I think of Jesus today and talked about how he controls the worlds and how he's busy being God, isn't he? I mean, you think about it, that he has so many other things going on. How could he really worry or care about me? But I can promise you, according to what the Bible says, that if you will call out to him, if you will get to him, he will stand still and listen to your problem today. The Bible says, call unto me and I will answer thee. And I show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. If you have something in your life, if you will just take the effort to get to God, he will stand still. He'll listen to you. So how can he do that and stand still for me and stand still for you and stand still? He's God. He can do all things. He can hear exactly what you're saying, everything you need. And that's a transforming truth. If you realize that if I have to get to God, I know I have to get to God, I know he's the only one that can help me, that will transform our lives. If we realize that he is what I need in this world. Some people say I need more money. Some people say I need more health. Some people say I need a better family. Some people say I need a better church. You know what? It is God what we need, and then allow God to lead and direct the rest of the way. And then he stood still and he listened to him. It says that he called for him. He says, and Jesus stood still and called him to be, and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Now these guys that were telling him shut up earlier saying, hey, look, be of good comfort. Hey, it's a good day for you. Rise, he calleth thee. Verse number 50, he casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. I think this is interesting, this passage of scripture that, you know, he cast something away. You know, this garment was probably very important for a blind man that sat by the side of the road, that was poor, because obviously he is sitting there, he's begging. If he had a closet full of clothes at home, he wouldn't be sitting there begging. He had a need. That garment was probably his pillow at night. That garment was his best friend when it was cold. And he would have no way to replace that garment. But the Bible says he cast it away. And I think that the reason why that's mentioned in the story here, and I think the reason why he did it, he did not want anything slowing him down from getting to Jesus. Their garments back then, they were known for being longer. Sometimes they were inhibiting, and sometimes there were certain things they had to do to be able to walk and get to a certain spot. And with the crowds that were there, he did not want anything to slow him down from getting to him, so he cast it away. I think the picture that you get there from is that there are certain things that we're going to have to cast away if we want to get to Jesus. We talked about the weights and the sins that so easily beset us. We talked about, we know the verses in Isaiah 59 which says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. And it says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. But the Bible was saying that it is our iniquities that has stopped us from getting to God. And what Bartimaeus is demonstrating to us is casting away that garment, just as we must cast away our sins if we ever truly want to get to Him. Now, will we lose our salvation? No, we're not going to lose our salvation. But we're never going to find the hope and the peace and the comfort that's found as this man understood when he got to Christ, when he got to God. I mean, how about it? I mean, are you truly getting to God? Is there a time when you spend it with Him and are you happy with your Christian walk? Have you gotten to the spot where you realize, I need Him, and without Him, I cannot do anything, and I need to get to Him, and I need to get to Him on a regular basis? I think Bartimaeus understood that and helped change his life and helped me understand that I wasn't getting to Him like I should. What was helping me understand the transforming truth was that even though I thought I was doing so many different things, I was not getting to God like I needed to. Because there is no one else that can provide the help and the hope that I need. And keep on going in. He says, and they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Now, I think this is an interesting question. Jesus being God, knowing all things, blind man, you know, you can tell he's blind. Someone's helping, leading him. He's sitting on the side right. He is clothed in his, he's already cast away his garment. His clothing is something poor, is something wretched, is something that you can tell there's a great need, and he's blind and he's there. He doesn't even know who Jesus is. And Jesus looks at him and says, what is it that I can do for you? Every 100,000 people that were there, everybody knew that Bartimaeus wanted to receive his sight. Everybody knew that. So why would Jesus ask that? See, I think God wants us to visualize and tell Him our problems. I think God wants us to say to Him, Lord, I need this from You. Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I give this over to You. God, You take this. You are what I need. I need my sight. Everybody else knows it. Everybody else sees it. But until I fall on my face and say, God, I can't do this. Here it is. It's all Yours. I'm depending. I'm trusting only in You. That's what prayer is. Is when we recognize and say, that's it. See, He wanted Bartimaeus to say, I want to receive my sight. He knew it. Jesus was able to do it. Jesus was like, okay, so what is it that you want? God wants to hear us. God wants us to, with our mouths, with our thoughts, with our hearts, God, I need Your help. You think about it in the model prayer. What does he say? Give us this day our daily bread. Most of us don't have any problem getting our daily bread. I mean, we got people who bring food in on Sunday mornings. So why would he say, give us this day our daily bread? He wants us to get to the point where we realize and understand everything comes from him. He enables us. He gives us the opportunity. He makes us the ability to go to the store and buy things or to make things. He gives us the ability to have the opportunity to take care of our basic needs. But he says if you can go all the way back and say, okay, I know you need this big stuff, but if you'll realize you need to depend on me for that bread and for that water, then you'll realize how much you need from me over here. And he doesn't want us to stop saying, Lord, thank you for this bread. Thank you for this food. He doesn't want us to stop doing that, but he wants us to get to the point where we visualize and say, God, he already knows about all my needs. He already knows when I'm in trouble. He already knows that I'm hurting. He already sees what's going on. No, he wants us to stop and he wants us to pray to him and say, God, this is what I need. See, that is total humbleness, is when we go to God and say, God, I can't handle this. I need your help. And that's what the Lord here, he wants us to tell him our needs. He wants us to cast our cares upon him. See, when we take a care and we keep it here, you know what we're doing? That's pride. When we worry, it's prideful because of the fact that we're not willing to give that care over to the Lord and trust in him and say, okay, God, you can have that. It's prideful for us to keep our cares and our worries and say, I need to worry about them to get it fixed. I need to worry and care for that problem because I don't trust God to do it. I have to do that. No one else can take care of that. I have to do that. Now, see, God was saying, look, tell me what your need is. I can provide what you need. Hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. But he wants to hear us praise him, yes, but he wants to hear us petition him too. And some people say, well, God doesn't want you to just go to him with a bunch of needs. You know, he's asking Bartimaeus here, what is it that you need? Let's keep on going. It says, the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. If we're going to get to Jesus and get to God, we need to have faith. If that was me or you, you know what we would ask for? We'd ask for a new seeing eye dog. We'd ask for a new cane. We'd ask for a new cup to hold my coins with, or enough food to take care of the week. We would ask for that little thing. Bartimaeus asked for the impossible. This is a transforming truth. If we realize that we can get to God, with God, all things are possible. But we have to get to him. And that night when I was listening, and once again, I don't even remember what the guy preached all the way. And I know I've preached this before, but when I do another passage of scripture, I usually don't go back to the old sermons because I don't want it to be the exact same outline. I don't want it to be the exact same thing. I want to put my work into it. So I don't always go back and study and look at things before. I wrote this out because I want it to be something fresh and new. We have to have faith. We have to believe the impossible. If we get near to him, then we're going to see that we're in his presence, who he is, who we are, and say, you know what? God can win that person to Christ. That God can provide for that need. That God can heal that person. That God can grow that church. That I can actually be faithful and I can serve and I can read his word and I can learn about him and I can pray. I can be the wife I'm supposed to be and the husband I'm supposed to be, the grandparent I'm supposed to be, because I've gotten to God and I had the faith that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. You know, that's another transforming truth that sometime we'll probably look at. The day I realized that I can actually please God. I don't know about you, but that helped me. I know some of you had to step out, and we're almost done. But for those who got to step out, you go ahead and step out, and we'll get finished here. Most of us would not have said, God, do the impossible. Most of us would have just looked for a Band-Aid for the next rest of the week. If we get to God, if we really, truly get into the Holy of Holies, if we somehow work our way to him, we can ask for the impossible. We can ask for the hard things. I remember when Elijah was asking Elisha, and Elisha said, look, I want a double portion. And Elijah says, you asked for a hard thing. We serve a God that can specialize, that specializes in the hard things. But we're going to have to get to them. Say, Pastor, I don't see people getting their prayers answered. I don't see the hard things being dealt with and done. I don't think there's really that many of us that are getting to Jesus. At least not to the ability that we could. I don't think there's many of us that see Him as our only way out. And that we're sitting on the side of the road crying out, Lord, have mercy on us. He wants us to cry out to Him. He wants us to realize that He is it for us. He wants us to realize that other people aren't going to understand that. He wants us to be willing to see that He will stand still and listen to. If you call on Him today, if you seek after Him today, He will stop and He will listen to just you. Yes, it might mean some things have to get thrown aside. Yes, it means that you have to tell Him that you are dependent upon every need of your life. You have to say, I cannot do this. I need your help. And then, by faith, believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. You know what it says in that Hebrews chapter 11, 6, I didn't finish the verse. It says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God, the person that gets to God, must believe that He is. Must believe what? That He is God. But not only that, that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You got to have faith that God can heal the blindness. Not only do you got to get to God, you got to have faith that God can do the things that you're asking for. The sin of unbelief is one of the greatest sins that happens inside churches like ours. We believe that God can, but we just don't believe He will. Yeah, I still like that story about that lady who was with the issue of blood, how she had to fight through the crowd and she was falling. She touched the hem of His garment. She's somebody who had to get to Jesus, and she didn't let anybody stop her either. Are you someone who is seeking to get to Him, spending time with Him, doing what's necessary to get to Him? For me, that message was a transforming truth. That helped me many years ago. Still helps me today to realize I need to get to Him. Lord, I pray You help us today. I pray You help the service to follow.